Hello and welcome to a special draft edition of the NBA Outlet. I know I'm not Nick Faye, I'm actually Dylan Jackson. I'm here with Dalton Pence. How are you doing today, Dalton?
Doing good, D-Jax. What's going on?
I'm doing good. As you know, OTG has some pretty cool merch coming out here. We got the Zionology t-shirt and, of course, the OTG regular logo t-shirt. So go check that out if you have not already. The NBA Outlet is available on Blog Talk Radio, iTunes, Google Play, pretty much everything. Let's go ahead and dive into this special mock draft that we got, courtesy of the draft team over at otgbasketball.com. Once again, go visit the website if you have not already. We've got articles about Zion, Culver, pretty much any NBA draft prospect. We've got playoff coverage kicking in. But yeah, let's go ahead and dive up into this mock draft. First overall pick, the New Orleans Pelicans select Zion Williamson. This pick is fairly obvious. I think we all expect it. Tell us a little bit about Zion's game, Dalton.
I mean, what is there to say that we don't already know? I mean, he's, as the t-shirt says, he's the basketball messiah, or the Zionology t-shirt that OTG just released. Pretty no-brainer pick right here. I mean, New Orleans, you went from potentially trading Anthony Davis to whoever got that first pick, and now you actually have the first pick. So Zion to New Orleans is a real thing now. But the second one, there's been a lot of steam on the second pick that Ja Morant's pretty much a lock to go to Memphis right now. Are you buying into that?
Oh, I'm absolutely buying into it. I think if they get Ja Morant here with the second overall pick, like we actually mock them taking Ja Morant, and I think Mike Conley trade possibilities really open up. I think the Suns are a possibility. I'm not sure what their cap situation looks like, but I think they have some room available. Maybe ship out TJ Warren or a player like that in order to get him. I think they've got the assets to make a Mike Conley trade happen as well. So look out for the Suns. Another team is the Utah Jazz. They were rumored to be interested in Mike Conley before the trade deadline. Obviously, that didn't pan out. But I think Ja Morant is the obvious pick here. He isn't second on my big board, but the consensus is that he will be the second overall player in this draft class.
I mean, it makes sense because Memphis is in this kind of rebuilding phase. I mean, they got rid of Marc Gasol going to Toronto. I mean, they've been rumored to have been shopping Mike Conley since the trade deadline. Even before that, Ja just kind of makes the most sense here when you get a guy like Jaren Jackson last year, who kind of addressing the front court needs. I mean, you just go ahead and get your point guard for the future, assuming with Morant. Moving on to the third one, this is where things kind of get a little interesting because there's a lot of ways this could go, but I thought this was a pretty obvious pick in my opinion. RJ going to the Knicks. I know you and I are higher on him than most because of people look at his consistency issues, but I guess don't really realize that 19-year-olds can work through that. So what are your thoughts? Is RJ the right pick to New York?
Oh, he's absolutely the right pick, and he's the right player you want playing in New York as well. You know, he's got a fiery mentality. He wants to win. He wants to play. He can score at all three levels, something Duke didn't really have last year. Zion started to stretch his game out to the three-point line, but RJ Barrett was really the only consistent. I mean, he wasn't even really that consistent, but when you look at what Duke had from the perimeter, their bench averaged 7 threes per game, which is just horrible. So you look at RJ Barrett, I think he could be a really, really good player. Kind of reminds me a little bit of Harden, except he's a little bit more athletic. Obviously, you don't want to just go out and compare players to James Harden or whatever.
Right.
But he does remind me a little bit of Harden in that sense.
Yeah, and the thing about RJ is you mentioned the three-point shooting. I mean, even with like the whole team in general just was not good shooting the ball from deep. I mean, I've never seen a point guard shoot the ball as badly as Trey Jones did last year. I mean, that was absolutely mind-boggling. I mean, Zion, we know he's not a three-point threat like that. You have Reddish, who's pretty much the predominant threat. But other than that, I mean, Barrett hit and miss somewhat. Moving on to L.A., I kind of had some questions regarding this pick. I'm not sure how I feel about Jarrett Culver going to L.A. I feel like Darius Garland could be a fit here, depending on what they plan on doing with Lonzo. I like Cam Reddish here. That probably would have been the guy I would have picked. But, I mean, I can see the hype with Culver because he's still big on my boards.
Yeah, the player that I would have taken is probably Jarrett Culver if I'm going by what the consensus thinks. I personally like the fit. He reminds me a lot of – he's like a shorter Chris Middleton almost. He's really good at everything, passing, shooting, defense, just that all-around type of guy for Texas Tech last year. He's 6'6 and a half, which it's decent, but it's not as tall as people thought he would be. So he's probably going to be locked into that two-guard role.
Yeah, and the thing about Culver is I think that the last time we saw him was kind of a sour taste in the mouth, the national championship game. DeAndre Hunter is spectacular, especially in the second half of that game for Virginia. And Jarrett Culver struggles. I mean, he had the one where he took Hunter to the basket and showed what could be offensively, but I mean, really didn't shoot the ball well in the national championship game. Culver's one of those guys to where he does a lot of things good, but you look at the things he does great, and there's not too many things that pop out, but he's definitely a solid player, and I think he's a pretty serviceable 3-and-D shooting guard in the NBA for years to come. Moving on to Cleveland, this is where Cam Reddish lands. This was actually a pick that I made. Essentially, I'm looking at players to pair alongside Colin Sexton that offer an immediate scoring. I know that Cam Reddish has some questions whether he can score efficiently and consistently off the dribble and create his own shot, but I believe in the three-point shooting. I mean, he shooting over 40% at Duke last season. I know you've seen some of the workout tapes, and workouts are obviously taken with a grain of salt because it's in an empty gym, but he definitely, you can see the craftiness, and I almost wonder if a lot of his production was hindered behind RJ and Zion last season.
Yeah, I mean, I actually like this pick. It's not very often that you see a versatile forward that can stretch the floor and do a lot defensively get taken in the lottery. I mean, really, that's really all that they're taking. There's not really another player that can do what Cam Reddish can do in this draft class. I'm looking at Sekou Doumbouya. He doesn't really have the offensive game. Maybe Rui Hachimura, except he's just bad at basketball. Kezia Kapawa, possibly, but he was somewhat inconsistent. I know Reddish was inconsistent too, but I think he has better physical tools and more elite traits and more potential than Kezia Kapawa. So I actually don't hate the pick here. I'm a little bit lower on Reddish than what the consensus would be. I think he fits next to Colin Sexton pretty well. I don't think he demands the ball too much. But they will have a pick later in this draft that I really, really do like.
So we move on to the Suns getting Darius Garland. This was your pick. I think it's pretty much a no-brainer. It's obvious that the Suns need a point guard. I think Garland is the way to go here. It sucks because he was one of those guys coming into this season. It was going to be kind of almost be a one-man wrecking crew. Maybe if you put Semi Shitu along with him at Vanderbilt, it's a little different in terms of how the season works out if he's actually playing. But, Garland, I think he's a legit three-point threat. He's going to have to add some weight to be able to consistently be able to do what he likes to do at the next level. But, I mean, for Phoenix, this is pretty much a no-brainer.
Yeah, I mean, I like Garland. I'm not too high on him. I think he's my 10th overall player on my big board. I think Phoenix actually gave him a promise, although it's rumored, not like too confirmed or anything like that. It's not too uncommon now to see players get draft promises at the combine now, but I think it's just a little bit too premature to just go out and say, we're going to draft you to a player. So I really do like this pick, though. I think the Suns need a point guard. Garland is a point guard and probably one of the best in this class behind Ja Morant. It's either him or Coby White. He can score at all three levels. I want to see him create more opportunities for his teammates. I didn't really see too much in his five games that he played for Vanderbilt. But this is certainly an exciting pick here. Let me ask you a question, though. Would you trade this pick for Lonzo Ball if the Lakers offered it?
Oof. I was going to ask you a question whether they should trade for Mike Conley if they were thinking about taking a point guard here. You know, it's I'm not really sure. Part of me thinks that, yes, I would, because of the fact that I still believe that, you know, contrary to some, I think that Lonzo Ball still has a time for him to progress. I mean, he's only, 20, 21 years old? I mean, I don't know why we're shying away from the idea that young players can still progress, CC Jimmy Butler. But if I had to go with my gut, I think you stick with Garland. I think that Garland is ultimately going to be a better player than Lonzo down the road, and some people will agree with that. Some people won't. I mean, Garland's the fourth best prospect on my big board. I mean, I guess I don't know if it's really recent, if it's biased because I watched him play all throughout high school and then watched more of his game in college. But I would stick with Garland, but barely. It just really depends. I think that what the deal breaker is the injury concern with Lonzo, because I know that although his injuries have somewhat been minor and not really major, I mean, they've been building up for his first 2 years.
Yeah, I mean, Lonzo obviously does have pretty big injury concerns, but I think I would make that trade just because he's a better guard that fits next to Devin Booker and DeAndre Ayton and those sorts of players that are already in Phoenix. Mike Conley, though, I don't think I would do that. Mainly because the timeline doesn't really match up with the other players that are already on that team.
And, you know, Mike Conley, I mean, as good as he is of a scorer and a guard, you know, you're looking for distribution and someone to be able to unlock the Suns offense, because honestly, it's almost like it's a bunch of stagnant one-on-one iso ball, kind of like a watered-down rocket system. It seems like they're trying to run with Devin Booker and playing into the low post with Ayton and guys like that. So there's definitely some concern there with drafting – or not drafting, but trading for Mike Conley. Moving on, talking about draft promises there, I saw a rumor. I only really saw it once, but it said that Coby White had received a draft promise. That's why he left the combine. In this draft, we have him going to the Bulls. That's a place where a lot of people have him pinned at. Coby White, a guy scoring at all three levels, can play either the one or two guard. It's going to be interesting to see what role he has for an NBA organization going forward, especially for the Bulls, because I think it all depends on how they feel about Zach LaVine and what his role is going forward. But I do like White to the Bulls, considering that they do need guards who can create, and they just need guards in general, to be honest.
Yeah, I think this is absolutely a draft promise. The Bulls gave a promise to what's his name? He's irrelevant now because he's kind of bad. Chandler Hutchinson last year.
Yeah.
That didn't turn out too well at all.
At least yet. I mean, it was his rookie season, but he was a guy that I wasn't even high on coming out of college anyway.
I mean, he was a senior coming into the draft. I don't know. I did not like that pick at all.
I didn't either. I thought it was too high. I thought that, you know, Hutchinson, I could see where you like him, but I just didn't believe too much in the offense and the NBA role going forward.
I mean, I don't even understand why you would give a promise to a guy – like with the 20th pick, that's right. Like way, way too low to give somebody a draft promise, in my opinion. Because like you have no idea who's going to be there.
Right. So. But I mean, I like the Coby White thing because they do need offense. You know, I hate seeing people tab a big man like Hayes or Bol Bol going to Chicago here, because honestly, why? I mean, you've got Lauri Markkanen, you've got Wendell Carter Jr. What do you need a big man for? You've got your front court of the future. You have a guy in Otto Porter that you might have on the wing for years to come. You have to address the backcourt.
Yeah, I think Coby White's a decent pick. Again, I'd like to see more of a distributor here with the 7th overall pick, although there isn't really one on the board. I guess the next best point guard is, like, I'm looking at it, I guess Alexander Walker, maybe.
It depends on what you consider Romeo Langford, to be honestly, because he can play the point, but
I think he's more of a wing, honestly. Because
right, well, the 6'6" frame with the 6'11" wingspan is definitely what he was one of the winners of the combine measurements.
I think it's Alexander Walker, because after him it's Shamori Ponds. Carson this Edwards point guard class completely falls off a cliff. Ty Jerome, Carson Edwards.
Right. And even those guys, like, you look at Jerome, Edwards, and Pons, and none of those guys are natural distributors.
No, I mean, they aren't. So, I mean, I guess you're kind of locked into taking him here, but yeah, maybe they look to get Mike Conley and via trade. I don't know.
That could be, you know, nothing's ever finalized. I mean, the Bulls have been known to make blockbuster trades on the NBA draft day, such as Jimmy Butler's. I mean, who knows? Moving on to the Hawks. Hawks have two picks, the 8th and the 10th from Dallas. This one they have DeAndre Hunter going. I know Hunter, it depends on whether or not, you know, usually either Culver, Reddish, or Hunter's going to fall to the Hawks. It seems like that's kind of the trend that's going to happen on draft night if we're going to follow verbatim what the mock drafts say, but I think Hunter's a good pick here. I think you get a guy who can come in and play defensively, especially. I know that Trae Young tries defensively, but his physical tangibles don't really allow him to be an elite defender. And Huerter's a guy that really is kind of defining himself in the league as kind of like a Klay Thompson-esque, like a Walmart Klay Thompson. So I think that there's a need for a defensive wing. I think that it's good that the Hawks don't need him to be a consistent scoring threat just yet. Really, whatever you get is icing on the cake. But defensively, I think that this is a good pick.
Yeah, I think he could play that three role. I know the Hawks were looking to either trade, and I guess he's expiring this year, Taurean Prince. So if you get him, John Collins, Trae Young, I think that's a pretty exciting young core. And, of course, the 10th overall pick, who we'll discuss in just a couple of minutes here. But Hunter is your prototypical 3-and-D guy. He took over the second half of the national championship game. That first half was very, very rough, though. I will say that much. It was not good at all. I'm not a huge fan of DeAndre Hunter. I don't think he's ever going to be a creator for himself or other teammates offensively. Defensively, though, he's elite. It's not too fast, though. So I think he's a solid NBA player. I don't think he'll ever be an above-average starter or below-average starter. I think he's just kind of there.
I think he's going to be a solid role player. I'll admit that I have cooled down a lot on him. It was refreshing to see him put on that offensive display in the second half of the Texas Tech national title game. But watching through extensive film the past couple weeks, there's too many instances where he just looks absolutely lost handling a basketball. And for a top 10 pick of his size, a guy who's supposed to have promising offensive potential, it at times it doesn't even look like it's even there. I mean, you see the catch and shoot possibility that could formulate down the road, but in terms of creating his shot, there is absolutely light years of work that need to be conducted to even get close to that of a true shot creator. Moving on to the 9th pick, the Wizards select Jackson Hayes, the big man out of Texas here. How do you like the fit?
I like the fit. I don't love the fit. I think if Thomas Bryant is back next year, which obviously this pick isn't really predicting it to happen, then I think it makes a little bit less sense. But if he isn't back, then this pick, it's spectacular. I think he should start over Dwight Howard next year. You know, he's your prototypical rim-running type of center. Not really a guy that's going to step back and jump the ball from mid-range or anything, but he has elite defensive upside. He's one of the tallest players in this class. His wingspan is, of course, I can't remember what it was, but I think it was
7'3.5" is what I remember.
Yeah.
So, I mean, definitely dope measurables over there.
He's got the tools to be an elite defender. And at his size, that's very, very valuable.
Yeah, right now he kind of reminds me of like his own version of Clint Capella, being able to run the floor well and play above the rim and defend above the rim as well and rebound. I think that offensively his game will need a ton of work in terms of developing an identity, a post game, and maybe even a mid-range down the road. But, I mean, he has potentially the best motor in the class in terms of big man. I mean, he's definitely – the size is there, so you don't have to worry about that. And then the tenacity that he plays with is definitely notable as well. Moving on to that 10th pick that we talked about. You and I talked before the pod that even – how do we pronounce this guy's name? The Goja Bitadze from Georgia, the country of Georgia. It's a guy that has risen up my draft boards the past couple weeks. I mean, especially with the combine showing that he had recently. I saw a tweet that you said you were fond of him as well. What piques your interest about Goja?
I think he can do it all. He reminds me a lot of Jokic, and I know that's very cliche to say, especially with, you know, a big guy who can shoot, who can pass the ball well. Coming from Europe, he's just, you know, a cliche Jokic comparison. But he really does remind me a lot of him. He can do it all, and he's playing in Europe, so you know he's playing against grown men. Europe is infinitely a tougher league than college basketball, and I think that it should be stated, especially after what we've seen Luka Doncic do in the NBA this year.
It's all about, you know, the thing about it is, it's from a talent perspective, I think that college may have the edge, but I don't think it's tougher from a talent perspective. I think it's tougher from a, I mean, as cliche as this sounds, it's tougher from a toughness perspective. I mean, guys are grown men. Their bodies are developed. You have to play team basketball over there. They run offenses. They run defensive schemes. I mean, it's all about growing mentally as much as it is physically. And Doncic, I mean, he's light years ahead in terms of rookies, in terms of how he is mentally, because he understands the game because he's grown up in this European system. And I think that's why you see guys like Porzingis and potentially Goja, Jokic. I mean, guys be able to come over right away, or soon after they come over, be able to produce at high levels. So I think that this is another guy who's going to come out and be a guy of that foreign nationality that can come in and perform well right away. And for Atlanta to have a guy who can spread the floor and score in multiple ways, it just sets up the whole offense around Trae Young and John Collins and DeAndre Hunter.
Yeah, I mean, if you have Trae Young, Kevin Huerter, DeAndre Hunter, John Collins, and Goja, that is a very, very fun team to watch. Like, that's a league pass team right there.
That's a potential top five league pass team. Like, I'm going to be absolutely honest. That is this next team, the Minnesota Timberwolves, however, are not in the top 10 of league pass. Not at all.
Especially if they draft this player.
Yeah. I'm a bigger Brandon Clark fan than most, but the fit here with the Timberwolves is just, I understand that Taj Gibson is older and he's a free agent. I understand that Dario Saric is a free agent next season, but I don't think the need for Brandon Clark is there, and I don't think the fit is there. I think you need a guy who can spread the floor. That's not something that Brandon Clark is good at. He doesn't really have a perimeter or even a mid-range game, but he is efficient around the rim. He does play with an electricity and a motor that not many have. I'm 6'7", with a 40-inch vertical, a big man. So really, I mean, Brandon Clark is, I think, this year's draft class is enigma. I think that he could either have a really, really good career or he could have a really bad career. I think it really just depends on the team he goes to and the fit, but I just don't see the fit here.
I think he's a perennial spark plug off the bench. I think he's probably a small ball five. I don't think I could play him at power forward just because he's, how do I put this? He can't, when you stretch him out to the perimeter, you take away his two best assets, which would be his shot blocking and his efficiency at the rim. I think I can't take that in the lottery.
That's the thing that, you know, somebody asked me, why are you so low on Clark? It's not the fact that I don't like him. It's the fact that I don't see that there's a team in the lottery that's willing to take him that he would even be a good fit on. Like, I'm looking in the lottery and I'm looking for a team that he would even fit on. And maybe Boston at 14. I mean, that there's a potential there because there's not a need for him to be great or anything like that. Boston really has kind of three surplus picks that they honestly don't even need. So it's going to be interesting to think there. But this next pick, I know you are absolutely ecstatic about the pick and the fit.
Yeah, Kevin Porter, Charlotte Hornets. I think we had the same pick in our last mock draft, but man, if it happens, I don't know, man. I
like this pick.
I love it.
I mean, it's one of those to where I'm growing tremendously on Kevin Porter because I'm starting to really buy into that offensive potential. I mean, the guy is as smooth as they come. I mean, I know the production wasn't there in college. I think that that's due to injuries. I think that's due to the fact that that USC team was a train wreck from the beginning. I also think that the character issue or the whatever that went on going on in December and January, whatever that was, kind of derailed him. But I see the potential there. I know you do as well. I think that if Kemba decides to stay, I mean, this could be a hell of a backcourt.
Yeah, I just want to talk a little bit more about Kevin Porter Jr. because everybody seems to be, you know, he's only going to be good if he, you know, is in the right team, and he can't be taken in the lottery because those teams don't have established, they don't have established, how do I put this? I don't know how to say this. They don't really have established cultures yet. And I think that's completely ignorant to say with Kevin Porter Jr., given his suspension. We don't even know what he was suspended for. And of course, that could always be a bad thing, but it could also be a good thing. You just don't know. And Sam Vecenie of The Athletic has said multiple times that he's been a role model citizen for that USC team ever since he's come back from that suspension. He's wanted to learn. He's wanted to become more of a player, more of a person. And I think I could really, really see him becoming a great NBA player. He's third on my big board. I'm probably the highest person in the world on Kevin Porter, but I am of the utmost confidence he can prove me right.
He's the sixth on my board. Who would you say his pro comparison is at this point?
This is gonna, people are gonna like, if I ever become a reporter for some team or whatever, they're gonna come back to this clip and they're gonna say, oh, you called him a more athletic James Harden.
That's exactly who I was thinking. I think that that's pretty much, I'm not gonna say justified because I don't think that ever comparing a player to an all-star is justified, but I think that if you're going to look at one guy, I mean, both of them are left-handed, both have a unique skill set. They can shoot, they can score at all three levels. They're crafty, especially the footwork is what gets me. This is where I think that Kevin Porter may really become a star in the league is the footwork. I think that his footwork, he shows it in transition, and he shows it at times when he takes guys off the dribble. The footwork's there. It's just a matter of producing and building confidence.
Yeah, I mean, if you normalize his stats to per 40 compared to other players per 40, his stats look exactly like the rest of the lottery. And I think he should absolutely be a lottery pick based on his potential alone. Up next, we got the Miami Heat with Romeo Langford. I'm not too high on Romeo. I think he's a 2-3 combo. Maybe he could play some point as well. He was great in the mid-range, had, I think, surgery on his thumb, the
Yeah,
shooting thumb.
he had a thumb issue apparently all season.
Yeah, so that could have been messing with his shot a little bit. Although one of the quotes he said wasn't too promising about that. I can't remember exactly what it was, so I'm not going to repeat it. But yeah, I think he's got plenty of potential. What do you think about Romeo to the Heat?
I mean, this is the pick that I made. I think that, the Heat have always kind of been a destination that I've seen for Romeo. I don't think that he is a lottery pick in terms of his production this past year. I think that he had a very lackluster season at Indiana. I think there was a lot of factors that went into that. He grew up and went to high school about 15 minutes away from the exact spot that I'm standing right now. So I've known who he is and I've seen him play all throughout high school. He's always been a guy who could shoot the ball from deep. Wasn't really the case in Bloomington this past season. I have to really kind of question like his drive and his will because he has the ability to take over the game and he's not afraid of the spotlight, but it just seems like he's so uninterested at times and his awareness, especially defensively, kind of raised some red flags. I know he's got a 6'11 wingspan for a 6'6 guard, so I don't really know what his role is. I mean, he can handle the ball, he can play the two and the three. There's a lot of things he can do versatility wise that could help out Miami, but I think it's a matter of the level that he will reach will depend on his mental state and how he approaches these next couple seasons. So I think that there's a lot that could go on good, but I think that there's a lot that could go on bad for Romeo. Ending the draft lottery, Boston with the pick from, I think it's Sacramento, taking Rui Hachimura here. I definitely don't think this guy's a lottery talent, but I mean the if there's going to be a team that can afford to take Rui, it's Boston because they don't really have a need for him. They have three picks, so they can take a risk. I mean, Rui, there's really, I mean, I know you and I definitely aren't high on him. I think that he's almost reached his ceiling. A guy who doesn't stand out physically, he's not quick, doesn't have a lot of really any great traits, but I mean, he can
No,
score. He can score in the mid-range over smaller guys.
I he's a second round player. I don't even I have a hard time understanding why people are so high on him.
I don't get it. It baffles me because I'm like, if you actually watch his film, how can you say that this guy is the draft class this bad to where we put a guy who can, the only thing he has the call to fame is a Draymond Green-esque pull up in the mid-range over a smaller guy? Is that what warrants a lottery pick in 2019?
I mean, I guess he can score inside, but even then, I saw a lot of his buckets were on second chance opportunities. And that's just not something that's going to fly in the NBA, especially when you've got Brandon Clark and Killian Tilly on your team. So I'm not high on Rui Hachimura at all.
I know you made this pick too, but you did. But I mean, it makes sense for Boston here. Like, I mean, the fit's okay. I mean, I don't really think he fits in the NBA in general, so I'm not going to say that there's a good fit for him. But
yeah, I mean, I'm going to say why I made this pick. I think he's going in the top 10 in the actual draft. I don't think that there's any scenario at which he falls past the 10th overall pick or the 11th overall pick for Minnesota. I mean, it's already been rumored that he has a promise from the Minnesota Timberwolves, which is just outrageous again. I don't think he makes it to 14, and that's the only reason I have him at 14 is because I didn't see him picked earlier. He's a second round player, in my opinion, probably the third or fourth best prospect on his team behind Norvell, Tilly, and Clark. So I don't like Rui Hachimura at all. I'm not saying he's never going to be a good NBA player. I'm not saying I'm rooting against him, but I just don't see it with him.
No, not at all. So moving post lottery, Detroit taking Sekou Doumbouya from France, a guy who in the past couple weeks has been putting together some impressive performances overseas. I mean, he's a guy that he has kind of a jump out of the gym athleticism, kind of a fiery tenacity, can definitely move for his size. And it seems like he's young and still growing. I think he measured in at, 6'9". Offensively, I think he's very raw, doesn't really have a true game. I think that he can score on all three levels at times in streaks. But for Detroit, I think for the future, I think this pick could be good. But I think right now, I'm just not so sure the fit, because it's been rumored that Detroit is wanting to maximize Blake Griffin's potential. And Doumbouya is kind of 3 years away from being a true substantial contributor.
Yeah, I mean, they've been working out a lot of lottery guys in terms of centers. So I actually wouldn't be surprised if they shipped off Drummond and took a center here with this 15th overall pick. Maybe Bruno Fernando, Charles Bassey. I think that's a little bit early for him. Another guy they could end up taking is Ball Ball. So they might end up taking a center and shipping off Drummond for a wing or forward type of guy. So look out for that. I personally don't hate the pick. I probably would go Kezi Akpala above Sekou Doumbouya, however, just because he's more of an offensive-minded guy, and you don't really have that type of player on the Pistons right now. You're playing like Luke Kennard as small forward in big stretches of games, which just cannot fly. And I think Sekou Doumbouya is more of a power forward anyways. So I would try to go a little bit smaller and a little bit more versatile here.
I think you'd hit the nail on the head. This next pick, I think, is potentially the best fit in the overall mock draft we have. Tyler Hero to Orlando. I think this makes too much sense. Somebody tried to tell me on Twitter today that Tyler Hero was a one-trick pony, and that just shows that you don't watch any type of film on him, because Hero, yes, I think he is the best pure shooter in this class, and I think that's something that Orlando is in dire need of. But I think he's an underrated athlete. I think he's an underrated defender. Definitely has a knack for the ball. Can create for his teammates at a true 6'5". So, I mean, I think that Hero is a guy here that not only does it pair a definite score with a guy like Markelle Fultz, who could struggle depending on how they run him at the point next year. But I definitely like Hero to the Magic.
Yeah, I love Tyler Hero here to the Magic. I think another guy they could center is Alexander Walker from Virginia Tech, but I think Hero is certainly a good pick here. He adds a ton of shooting, he's a solid defender for his size. He's going to be your starting two guard for a very long time. He's fairly athletic. I'd love to see him get to the free throw line more often, but that's pretty much my only major critique of Hero. I think he could go a little bit earlier, possibly late lottery. I think his ceiling right now is Minnesota at 11, although that is a little bit of a stretch given I believe that they gave Rui Hachimura a draft promise. So we'll see how that works out.
So moving on to 17, I picked PJ Washington to Brooklyn. You know, one thing that they need is toughness. Another thing that they need is front court depth and rebounding. I think PJ Washington marks off all the boxes. I know he's smaller in stature, but the wingspan helps that out. A guy that served as a glue component, the cohesive unit for the Kentucky Wildcats this past year. A guy who has a potential perimeter shooting role in the future, depending on if that can continue to progress, but it was light years better this year than it was last season. And he's a guy who's crafty inside. I mean, he has good footwork, very tough. I mean, can bang down low with the best of them. So, and at the worst, can be a small ball five for the Nets.
Yeah, I'm not huge on PJ Washington. I'm not too high on his particular NBA projection. I'd probably go a versatile forward here or a versatile guard, depending on what you want to do with D'Angelo Russell. But I don't think it's a horrible pick for the Brooklyn Nets here. They've got Jonathan Musa, Rodion Skrucks already, and of course Jared Allen. So adding some more front court depth certainly couldn't hurt the Brooklyn Nets. Moving on to the Indiana Pacers, we've got Kezia Okpala. Of course, they've got Bojan Bogdanovic, who's a pending free agent and likely to get actually a fairly big deal based on his second half performance of the year. What do you think of this Kezia Okpala pick?
I'm with you. I'm bigger on Okpala than most. I think that there is definitely a potential all-star level caliber that Okpala can reach if he continues to progress. I think that the progression between freshman to sophomore year was definitely encouraging. Depending on what Bogdanovic does in free agency, I think that the common denominator in free agency is how big is the actual market for a guy like him coming off one great season that he had. So we'll see in terms of that regard. But I like Okpala regardless because I think that he can fit a bunch of different roles for Indiana. I think that if he can continue to progress in consistency with the perimeter shot, I think that there's definite all-star potential that can be reached.
Yeah, and I think he could fit either as a role player, as a starter, whatever you want to do. And freeing up Bojan's money gives you the potential to sign a max free agent like Kemba Walker. I highly doubt this would ever happen, but Kyrie Irving, that sort of guy. Next, we've got the San Antonio Spurs taking Nickeil Alexander-Walker. Of course, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander's cousin. He's a creative 1-2 combo guard. I mean, he's like a little bit below average on defense, but the scoring potential, the passing potential are certainly there.
I mean, he does things well, doesn't do really anything great. He's a guy that back in November when I came out with my very first mock draft, I believe he was late lottery, I think 13 or 14. Definitely cooled off since then. ACC play kind of exploited his weaknesses. I really have to question whether or not he can consistently create his own shot over players who are more athletic and be able to get to the rim. But I think that if there's an organization, if there's a coaching and development staff that'll be able to bring out the most in NAW, I think that it will be the Spurs. I love the pick here. I don't know what it is about the Spurs and getting international players, but I guess we're going to continue that trend.
Yeah. And now we've got the next Boston pick. I think it's their second pick. With the first one, they took Rui Hachimura. And we've got another project in Nasir Little from North Carolina, who wasn't really utilized correctly. I think he was kind of used as a backup center by Roy Williams at UNC. So interesting pick here. I think he's a 2-3 combo. He needs to learn to shoot, period. Anything. It could be a mid-range shot. It could be a little bit further than a mid-range shot. Ideally, it's a three-point shot, but he needs to have a jumper. It just wasn't there at UNC. defense, he kind of struggled a little bit despite having the tools. He's got like a 7'1" wingspan, being 6'6.5", I think. So I think he has the tools to be a solid guy. I'm just not quite sold, and that's coming from a UNC fan. So,
yeah, I mean, Nasir Little definitely has the physical tangibles. I mean, he has the size, definitely has the length. I think that the athleticism is there as well. I think that one reason why people were more disappointed in Little's production, I think we put a lot of stock into the McDonald's All-American and the Jordan Brand All-Star game, which he actually showed out in. But, yeah, I mean, making shots is what it all comes down to. I mean, you can be as athletic as you can be, but, I mean, he was a guy that with the basketball in his hands at North Carolina this season at times, it just looked like he didn't know how to play the game in a sense to, I guess, to make matters less complicated. Nasir Little is a guy that I was very high on at the beginning of the season. I think that Boston taking him here, I think that it's a low risk, high reward situation. I think for Nasir Little, maybe it was a fit issue for North Carolina. Maybe Roy Williams didn't necessarily play him in the position or the role that he should have been utilized with. But I think that giving Nasir Little a chance to be able to perform and progress with little to no pressure behind guys like Jay Tatum and Jaylen Brown, assuming they're still there next year, I think that it's a good pick. So we move on to OKC. Speaking of North Carolina, Cam Johnson to the Thunder. I like this pick. Obviously, I like the pick because I made it. But Johnson, a guy that has risen up boards since the latter half of ACC play, 6'7", 6'8", guy who can shoot the ball fairly well, can create for his size, can do a little bit of everything, a above-average defender, not necessarily too quick laterally, but for that size, I mean, you're not really expecting a guy to be that quick. But for OKC, I think gives a potential scoring option down the road for Westbrook and Paul George.
Yeah, Cam Johnson was the best shooter in college basketball last season, 45, I think, from three, which is crazy when you think about it. So that, even if it's just like 37% from three, from the NBA line, that's still really, really good from a 3-and-D type of player. So taking a 3-4 combo with the tools to be a solid NBA player at 21 at forward, which is a premium position, I think you can't go wrong here. He's a little bit older, but he's still really, really good, and this is the perfect fit for him. We've got 22 Boston, Bruno Fernando. They take another front court player. I really like this pick. Fernando is sixth on my big board. He can really do it all, rebound, defend, rim protect. He can score in the post, and I think his best trait is his ability and willingness to pass out of the post. And his vision to find other players when engaging on offense is really, really special.
Yeah, Al Horford's not getting any younger, even if they bring him back, which I assume by all means he'll accept. He'll exercise his player option right and make $30 million next year and potentially be on the Celtics for years to come. But the Celtics don't have a true rim protector. I mean, Marcus Morris is not the guy. Aaron Baines is not the guy. Obviously, Al Horford's not the guy. I think Bruno Fernando is a great pick here, especially at 22. I think that he could go – I'm not saying late lottery, but I think that 15 to 20, you could definitely see him off the board depending on maybe Brooklyn Nets. Depending on how they view a fit with Jared Allen, I'm not really sure. But
I think he'd go top 10.
Potentially. I think that he has the talent to go top 10. I'm not sure who would take him top 10. That's the thing. I think that you have the plethora of – you have the three guards that you look at, and you also have the guard-forward hybrids that you take. But maybe Washington at 9 or Atlanta at 10, depending on how you view him. But I love the pick here to Boston. I think that he can contribute right away. I think if he can develop in somewhat of a mid-range game, it's going to be absolutely scary because of his body size and his ability to do the things well, like you mentioned. So Utah at 23, taking Keldon Johnson from UK. This is one where I'm not so sure.
I'm not loving this one.
I think that one thing about Utah is they have to find someone – put it this way, they have to find a scorer to put alongside Donovan Mitchell to take a lot of that pressure off. Ricky Rubio, as much as I respect him as a true point guard, he does not score consistently. And Keldon Johnson's a guy that, you know, for a size, I guess he's a two guard. I guess maybe even a three, depending on the rotation that they're playing. But I just don't love the fit here. I think that Johnson improved from behind the arc later on in the SEC play, but I don't think it's a consistent measure at the moment. I think he can take it to the rack, or at least he could against subpar athletes. But, I mean, this is a guy that we had in top 10 consensus mock drafts back in 2018, late 2018, and now he's fallen into the 20s.
Yeah, Keldon Johnson, I think his best trait right now is his transition game. Other than that, I really don't like him. I think he's a second round player. I think in Utah, he's probably a two guard. I think it means that Donovan Mitchell has moved up to the point guard, which he plays most of the time anyway. So I don't love the fit. They've got Grayson Allen already at the two.
I don't think that Grayson Allen's the answer either. I mean, I didn't really like that pick last year either.
So. Oh, no, me either. I don't like it. I think you need a scorer in the front court, and if you're going to take a shot, I'd probably go Kiki here, or maybe Ball Ball, who still hasn't been taken, very shockingly.
Yeah, I think that there's a lot of ways that Utah could have gone here. I just don't. I think even a guy like maybe Talen Horton Tucker is a guy that you could look at to pair alongside Donovan Mitchell for the future, obviously not for the immediate impact. Moving on to 24, Philadelphia. I like this pick. I like Ty Jerome to Philly. I think that you get an honest 3-point caliber guard, a guy who showed he could hit it in college. Not really a great athlete, doesn't do anything great, does a lot of things well. He's just a solid player. I don't really think there's a high ceiling for him, but in the latter half of the draft in the 20s, I mean, Philly gets a solid role player, a guy who for years to come could be a good backup point guard behind Ben Simmons, especially if they don't want to re-sign TJ McConnell. I think he's a taller TJ McConnell. So I really like this pick because, I mean, it's one of those, it's a low risk, low reward situation, but I think that it could provide wonders for a second unit down the road for Philly.
This just feels like a Philadelphia 76ers pick. It does. Like Landry Shamet last year, he was sort of a early second type of guy. They took him at the back end of the first. I think it's the same scenario here. He's a bit of a shooter, 1-2 combo, not too much of a creator. He played beside Kyle Guy in Virginia, who is a bit of a shooter himself. It'll be interesting to see whether he gets drafted or not. And of course, DeAndre Hunter and Jack Salt. He's like, imagine.
Finally, gone.
I think it was on the Ringer podcast, Ringer NBA. Imagine a dude named Jack Salt, and that's exactly who Jack Salt looks like.
It really is, though. I mean, I'm a Louisville fan, so just like you, I've seen Jack Salt for 4 years, and I'm just tired of his solid screens that he sets. And he always goes off points-wise against Louisville. So, I mean, I see too much Jack Salt, and I'm ready to not see Jack Salt. But back to Ty Jerome, I think Ty Jerome, I'm so glad, for the record, that him, Guy, and Hunter all decided to go. Like, that was absolutely made my day when all three of them declared.
Yeah, I mean, I like the fit here with Philly. I think he's a perennial bench player. And that's what you're really looking for in this 20 to 30 range is, you know, bench guys. You're not really looking to take a shot at a star like you are in the lottery. But here at 24 overall, Ty Jerome's a solid player. 25 overall, the Portland Trailblazers take Talen Horton Tucker. I don't love this pick. I'm not too high on Talen Horton Tucker, but I do understand it. He's got plenty of potential. His measurements, like, I looked at him, I think it was Jonathan Givony that tweeted him out, and I, like, laughed out loud because you hardly ever see a 6'3 player with a 7'2 wingspan. That's just
– it's unreal.
To me. So.
It's unreal. You know, Talen Horton Tucker, I made this pick, and really it wasn't even from a fit perspective. Like, I did not take any fit into consideration here. I just took the potential because, I mean, I think that in the – with the players available at this point, I think Talen Horton Tucker, I mean, he doesn't turn 19 until, I think, Thanksgiving weekend next year. So, I mean, he's tremendously young. the potential's there. He is very, very, very raw. I mean, but you've
That's who Portland takes, though.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that you saw it with Zach Collins. I mean, that's kind of an epitome of the raw but has potential pick. And I think that Talen Horton Tucker is another one of those picks. Anfernee Simons was one of those picks. I think that Horton Tucker is a guy that could play multiple positions. I took this pick as kind of insurance because as good as C.J. McCollum was, I still am not buying that he is going to be in Portland for life. I think that it's going to eventually get old. I know that it may have subdued it with the Western Conference Finals run this year, but I mean, I think that they're kind of capped off right now in terms of what they can do until they free up some cap. So I didn't really see a fit for Horton Tucker here, but I put him just out of default because I think that the potential's there. Another guy, this guy, I mean, Bol Bol falling to Cleveland at 26. I think that the Cavaliers take him no hesitation here. I think late first round, a guy with his size, I know that he needs to put on about double his weight almost. But it's crazy what he was able to do in his 9 games for Oregon this season. 3-level scoring with the handles of a 7'2" guy. I mean, it's absolutely bonkers what he could do on the court. So if it works out, Cleveland makes out like bandits here.
Yeah, I mean, they get two high upside, low floor types of guys with Cam Reddish and Bol Bol. So that's just a really fun team to watch, you know, with Kevin Love added in, Colin Sexton in the picture. That's a fun team. I'm not sure if they're league pass worthy until I see the players actually pan out. However, that would be a very, very interesting summer league team for sure. Next, we've got second Brooklyn Nets pick, and Chuma Okeke, who I believe tore his ACL in the tournament game against North UNC. Carolina. Sadly, he was looking like a lottery pick before his ACL blew. He's a versatile forward. He can score. He can defend. He can do it all. He was rising up my board rapidly during that tournament.
I think you're one of many. I think I was in that boat with Okeke. I think one thing that really caught me was his ability to stretch the floor with the three-point shooting. I think that's really what caught my eye and a lot of people's eyes because, I mean, there's never been a question about his length. I mean, even throughout high school coming into Auburn, he was always known as a lengthy forward. But the fact of the matter is now it seems like he has a definite offensive game that is defined by kind of outside shooting and then playing kind of in between there. I think he's going to be able to do a lot of things well. So this is a home run for Brooklyn here at 27.
Yeah, I mean, you don't need him to pan out next year.
No, you don't. And honestly, he probably won't play next year.
No, because, not at all. I wouldn't play him.
No, I mean, he tore his ACL in March. So, I mean, what do you – especially if you get a big-name free agent here like Durant or maybe even Tobias Harris. I mean, there's no need for Okeke to come back regardless. I mean, you get him healthy, you get him in the weight room, and you get him on the training pattern that – you had other guys on, so I think that there's definitely the plan there. For Golden State, Dylan Windler, you know, I'm not high on him. I understand he has kind of like that more athletic Joe Ingles appeal, and he can hit the three, but I actually like Matisse here kind of as a maybe a guy who comes in to replace Andre Iguodala later on, but I understand the three-point shooting. Golden State just needs guys to fill out their bench at this point. He can come off the bench and hit threes and score and space the floor. How do you feel about Dylan Windler?
It looks to me like a Klay Thompson replacement, honestly, because he is a free agent. Dylan Windler is that Klay Thompson-esque player. Again, cliche. We say it every year. There's just a group of players in the NBA that have draft comparisons every year. It's Harden, it's KD, it's Klay Thompson. We've used Klay Thompson like 3 times today. Draymond Green, Steph Curry, who else? There's just a plethora of players that NBA analysts compare draft prospects to every single year. Dylan Windler, he just looks a lot like Klay Thompson. So I think he's certainly an interesting player. His transition game was a little bit, I think it was a little bit above average from what I saw in Belmont. I went back and rewatched his game against Murray State in the conference championship game for him, and he was incredible in that game. I'm not too high on Windler. I've got a mid-second round grade on him. One of my last draftable players, actually. I think he's 45th or 6th on my big board.
Moving on to San Antonio, the pick from the Kawhi Leonard trade, Matisse. I guess it's Thybulle. I've heard so many pronunciations that I have no idea which one's true, but we'll go with that one. Thybulle from Washington, a guy who doesn't have too much of an offensive game outside of the three-point shooting, maybe even catch and shoot three-point shooting, but he is a good defender. I think that he's a solid player. I think that he kind of reminds me of a less offensive Kawhi Leonard from San Diego State. And I know that's kind of cliche because we're talking about the Spurs, but this is definitely a guy that the Spurs take, a guy who is a solid player, who plays hard, and who can defend and buy into a defensive scheme. So I like Thybulle here. I think that I think it's Jonathan Wasserman has Thybulle as his 18th best player in the draft.
Ooh, that's a little bit rich for me.
So what are your thoughts on Thybulle?
I think he played like free safety in Washington. He was very, very interesting to watch. Very entertaining to watch, actually. Like, led the NCAA in assist or in block percentage and steal percentage. But again, he played in a zone scheme and was inept offensively. So again, I think in today's NBA, if you're good at defense, you have to be able to hit the three as well. You just have to,
especially if you're a wing. I think that's kind of it. Definitely, you're kind of microscoping wings here for sure. Because I mean, unless you're a supreme athlete, you have to be able to defend and you have to be able to shoot the ball well. The last pick in the draft, and you made this one, Isaiah Roby going to Nebraska. Or I was about to say going to Nebraska. Isaiah Roby out of Nebraska going to the Milwaukee Bucks. Explain the rationale behind this one.
He is a wing forward combo. He really rose up at pretty much everybody's draft boards during the combine. He had impressive measurements, was very, very, very impressive in 5v5s, and typically those players that excel in those games tend to rise up the draft boards. We saw it last year, and I believe we will see it again this year. Isaiah Roby to the Bucks, just a solid rotation guy. Obviously, next year that pick will probably convey to the Phoenix Suns from the Eric Bledsoe trade. So to get another young asset is very, very valuable to the Milwaukee Bucks.
You know, Isaiah Roby, I was always wanting more this year from Nebraska. I mean, I think he averaged just under 12 points a game for the Cornhuskers. I thought he could have done more. Definitely a guy who plays well off the ball, can really run and know his role. The energy is there. The rebounding is there. I think he's measured in it 6'8", if I'm not too mistaken. But I think that's
6'8", 0.25 or something like that.
I think the scoring potential is there. One thing that really is notable about him was his ability to show at times that he could score off the dribble and do so in kind of a notable fashion. So I think that, you know, Milwaukee, you're into this, the back last five picks of the draft, you're not going to get a guy who's going to be an absolute star. Roby's a guy who I think can play into a good role in Milwaukee, kind of as a guy who comes in when Giannis comes off. So I think that there's potential there. So that's the picks. This was our second overall mock draft. Who are some of the guys that you think got snubbed that you would have included that didn't get put in?
My top-ranked player that was not drafted was Grant Williams.
It's kind of weird that he wasn't put in. Like, I now that you mentioned that, like, I completely forgot about Grant Williams.
Yeah, I mean, he was my 18th-ranked player. He's just a very sound basketball player. Just really, really good at basketball. I don't really know how to describe him. His shot was kind of inconsistent at Tennessee this year, but, I mean, other than that, he's just an undersized power forward. Reminds me a lot of actually Miles Bridges from the Charlotte Hornets. So really? I think he should be drafted in the first round for sure. But if he did slip to the second round, we're probably going to see a team trade up and get him.
Yeah, I mean, he's good. I think he could be a potential Draymond Green guy down the future in terms of maybe – now, yeah, a lot of people kind of coined smaller power forwards and bigger small forwards that aren't as mobile to Draymond Green. I'm just saying this from a fit that from a sound basketball player, you know, he doesn't have extreme measurables or things that he does great, but – he knows his role, and I think for an NBA team, you need guys that can come off the bench and provide that role. And I think that Grant Williams, especially in the latter half of the first round, could go. I think that Mofondo Cabangele from Florida State is a guy that I looked at, and I think he definitely has first-round potential. I mean, the size is there. The motor is there. He has a fiery personality and a fire level of play. Can score around the rim and defend pretty well around the rim. I'd like to see him be more consistent on the offensive end. But, I mean, he's just got that he's got the mentality that you love, especially in the end of the first round.
Yeah. I'm just going to rattle off a list of my guys that weren't taken in the first round that probably could be. Jontay Porter, Charles Bassey, Shamori Pons. You already mentioned them. Cabangele, Carson Edwards wasn't taken. Killian Tilly, Lewis King, and Zach Norvell. And two more guys that I'm like really, really interested in as second round guys are Mia Ioane and Darius Bazley, as sort of wing forward type of players who can hit the shot, who can defend, just very interesting players in general.
Yeah, just to kind of highlight that, I thought Carson Edwards was a guy that you could see go late. I think I could see him go maybe even up to Philly, because of the need for three-point shooting and a guy who can come in and score off the bench. So maybe Philly takes a stab at it there. In terms of other guys, I mean, you pretty much hit the nail on the head. I mean, all those guys I think have potential there. I think Lewis King is a guy that definitely helped his stock in the NCAA tournament. You could see a team maybe like Golden State or Milwaukee take a chance on him.
What is the best fit in this mock draft, in your opinion?
Well, I mean, I think I'm going to kind of shy away from the Harold to Orlando because I'm always saying Harold to Orlando is going to be the best fit. But if I had to pick a different one, you know, I'll look up and down and there's some good fits here. I think the best fit from a basketball perspective and organizational standpoint, I think it's Cam Johnson to Oklahoma City. I think that what he can offer at 6'8", 6'7", 6'8", being able to shoot the ball like he does, I think that's something that Oklahoma City desperately needs and that they don't get consistently from guys like Andre Roberson, Jerami Grant, and Terrence Ferguson in the last half of 2018-19. I think that Cam Johnson can offer more scoring, and that's something that they can use outside of Westbrook and Paul George.
Yeah, I mean, we really haven't talked about it at the, you know, top of the draft, but I think Zion Williamson to New Orleans is actually a really, really good fit. He's not going to be in the media, not going to be in the focus of, you know, say New York, Los Angeles. He's just going to be kind of down in New Orleans chilling with Jrue Holiday and, you know, possibly Jason Tatum and Marcus Smart.
Marcus Smart. It's going to be interesting to see what they do with Anthony Davis. It's going to be very, very interesting. But you're right. I mean, he's not in that big market. I mean, New Orleans is a decent-sized market. Wherever Zion goes, the media is going to follow regardless. And I think that it's easy to say that from a basketball perspective that Zion fits well anywhere, which he does. But I think that New Orleans, who's in need of a power forward or a tough-nosed guy who can play at that caliber level, I mean, I think that New Orleans is definitely one of the better fits.
Yeah. I also like R.J. Barrett a lot. To the New York Knicks. I just think his mentality is so, so, so good for that New York media, that New York spotlight. He's a player, and he's clutch, and he's going to get you buckets. And that's what New York needs. Next to KD and possibly Kyrie, that is very, very exciting. Very exciting.
I think RJ's got that New York state of mind. He does not shy away from the spotlight, never has. Honestly, probably never will. You know, RJ is a guy that I think has absolutely star potential strapped all over him. So, I mean, I think that there's the potential there to be a guy in New York, especially if you can get a guy, if you can get guys like Kyrie and KD or AD, it's going to be absolutely make Knicks basketball fun again. So,
yeah,
I think that there's so any closing thoughts that you have before we head out?
All I want to say is that if Kevin Porter is not a Charlotte Hornet on June 21st, I will not be very happy. I mean, especially if it's somebody like Rui Hachimura, just saying.
Oof, I can only imagine. I'm just going to leave you alone for a couple of days if the Hornets take Hachimura.
I would take a hiatus possibly for my entire lifetime from being a Hornets fan.
I get you there. Yeah, I mean, we're pouring out consistent draft content over at OTG. I mean, if we are looking for contributors or writers, we have been getting a ton of production from the guys that we have now. You, I, Matt Esposito, Nathan Sherman. You even get Kyle Russell on it. Teardot Bibahani has been big for the scouting reports. He is no longer with us. But there's a lot to cover, and having more hands on deck is something that could be beneficial to us down the road. But, I mean, the draft content is only growing, especially with the postseason dwindling down, and we are less than a month away from the NBA draft.
Yeah, I mean, it's really getting close, and we're starting to feel it a lot. You know, pre-draft workouts are in full force. The combine just happened a couple days ago. I'm super excited about it. The draft is in Brooklyn this year. It's pretty much always been in Brooklyn, which is, I mean, it's fun. I want to go one day. Not going to go this year, though. But yeah, this was a fun podcast. We're going to hope to do another OTG draft podcast. This is the NBA Outlet again, special edition. I'm Dylan Jackson. That's Dalton Pence. Nick Fay, shout out to him. He's the owner of OTG Basketball. Once again, get a Zionology t-shirt. Those are really, really cool. You can get them in New Orleans colors now, I believe. So that's really, really cool. There's a ton of other new merchandise on the OTG store. You can listen to this on Blog Talk Radio, Apple Podcasts, or the Google Play Store. So, Dalton, how excited are you for June 20th?
I mean, I've been excited since the college basketball season, and to be honest with you, I think especially with the postseason kind of dwindling down, I mean, there's so much to be excited about. I love the hype coming up to it. I love the chatter about who's going to trade up, who's going to trade down. It seems like there's always one blockbuster trade in its own respective sense. I'm kind of interested to see who that's going to be with this year. So, I mean, I just love, and I'm just ready for the Houston Rockets to trade everyone but James Harden. So that's what we're waiting for at this point.
Yeah, and I want to say one thing before we go. Like, draft day is just so incredibly insane. Like, last year, and really 2017, you know, like, the 2 hours before the draft happened, we essentially knew the first six or seven picks, which right. is just, that was insane. Like, we figured out it was going to be Ayton like 2 weeks before when, you know, he like ate dinner or something. He was like watching the finals, I think it was, with Devin Booker and TJ Warren and Josh Jackson and everybody. So we knew about that pick. And then we got the reports that Atlanta wanted Trae Young and wanted to trade down. And that the Kings were going to take Bagley. So we knew all the picks before the draft even happened.
That's crazy. I think that's something. And we essentially know the top two. But after that, I mean, the Knicks are high on Cam Reddish. I mean, they compared him to Paul George. So who knows? And the Knicks are always throwing a wrench in everything too. So they might go ahead. They might take Rui.
They might. Honestly, that would be – I don't know what to tell you.
I don't know what to tell you if they took Rui.
Anyways, this is the NBA Outlet. This was fun. Once again, at Dylan Jackson NBA. What is your Twitter handle, Dalton?
At DPenceNBA. I mean, if you don't know how to spell that, just go to the OTG account and just look through. I'm usually retweeting as much as I can. So, yeah, I mean, it's a wrap. I mean, this is something that after the first time we did it, it was something that we wanted to do again because it's fun to get the whole draft team involved with everything and to see how everything formulates.
Yeah, and hopefully we can do another one leading up to the draft. Hopefully, again, once again, we're just a month away, so it's going to speed up really, really quick coming up here. And yeah, peace.